This is Pastor Jim Crisson for the congregation of the Rock Springs Methodist Church. You may wonder who we are. The answer is a traditional, Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community, worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage. We believe that Christ must be at the center of everything we think, say, and do. Our commandment from Him is to love one another. We believe that Scripture guides and informs our faith on a daily basis. We also look to the tradition of Methodism established by John Wesley as he walked his path of reformation and established a denomination based on grace. Our ministry reflects our call to follow Christ through mission, fellowship, study, and worship. You're invited to join us as we move forward in our faith journey. Please visit our website at rocksprings.umc.org or join us in worship 10:30 Sunday mornings at 1515 Edgar Street here in Rock Springs.
The following worship service was broadcast and recorded live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, with Reverend Jimmy Crisson. We are a traditional, Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage. Please join us as we worship together on Sunday, August 9th, 2020.
Welcome to worship this morning, and it's good to be in the house of the Lord. God bless you all. Let us pray. Good morning, Lord. Your church is meeting together today in your presence. We welcome each other, and we welcome you. Make yourself known to us in new ways through our worship, our prayers, and our understanding of your word. This is the...
Let's prepare our hearts to go before the Lord in prayer. Let us begin that time in silence, centering ourselves before the very throne of God in the name of Jesus, our Christ. Let us pray. Our gracious and loving God, your Son admonished us to lift our hearts before you. He called us into secret places where we could bear our hearts before you. And Father, He calls us into a place that we call sanctuary. We call sometimes the church, but actually, Father, we're the church. And we're in the building this morning called sanctuary. And Father, we thank You that You have promised that if we come and ask, You shall give in Your will. If we seek, You shall reveal in Your will. If we repent, You forgive through Your grace. And to come to You in the name of Jesus. And that's what we do today. And Father, as we come, we seek first to right ourselves with You in seeking forgiveness for sins, the things in our life to call us away from You, cause us to not be in full communion with You. Those times of doubt, those times when we walk around and don't seek You first are times for the enemy to come in to wreak havoc in our hearts and in our lives. Forgive us, Father, for taking our eye off of You even when there isn't a storm. But there is a storm. There is a storm all around us. Father, if we just pay attention, there's a world around us that needs Your love and grace. There's a world around us of pain, sorrow, grief, fear, doubt, filled with deceptions of the enemy. Demonic forces are at work. Father, we realize that You have taught us in Your Word that we have not enemies of flesh and blood, but of spirits and principalities. And Father, there is evil as sure as there is heaven. There is an adversary, we call him Satan, just as sure as there's a Jesus. And Father, I fear, as I look around, he is wreaking havoc in the lives of your children, even into the lives of those who don't call you Father yet. So Father, we as Christians need to be about spreading your love and grace in your word, calling people to find you and repent and accept you and let the Holy Spirit change their lives so that we can lay aside hatred, anger, animosity, and the list of isms, pride and prejudice, greed, jealousy, slothfulness, to lay aside the sins of this world and find ourselves in redemption with you. Father, there is a storm and it rages. Let us not deny it or be buffeted by it or pushed off course through it, but let us keep our eye on you through Jesus. Hear our hearts and prayers for many needs among us, within our church family, within our community, within our nation, and in the world. Father, we see we're being hit in so many directions. Nearly 1 million acres have burned, and countless families have lost their homes, and lives have been lost in forest fires around the state of California. 1,200 lightning strikes ignited these flames. Lightning strikes where there had not been before, and areas that found it unusual. For those who live in the Gulf Coast area who are now watching not one but 2 tropical storms enter the Gulf, Father, we pray as violence spills over in our bigger cities and fear, doubt, dread fill lives, that you would speak through us words of encouragement, forgiveness, grace, and mercy. But that they wouldn't just be words, but with actions. Father, we pray for other churches. God, may you bless them and fill them with your Spirit. And Father, we pray in those communities where churches are closed, where people can't come together to share in their journey, to find strength in our fellowship. Father, we would pray that they would find a way. Father, maybe it's back into house churches, but we'd pray they find a way. Father, we pray for those who are in hospitals, nursing homes, in our school systems. Father, wherever they may be, that danger might find them. Be with them. Grant unto them your grace, your peace, and presence. We pray for those who serve our country, who serve us in our military, our law enforcement, and our emergency and hospital persons, but also those who are caregivers and shut-ins in their own homes. God, grant unto them grace and peace. And now would you hear us as we join our hearts and voices to praise you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our reading for this morning is Romans 12, verses 1 through 8. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. The word of God for the people of God.
I want to encourage you this morning, as we look around in our society and in our culture, it is so easy to find ourselves in darkness. It's really a hard time to be focused on the light. It's an easy time to find doubt and dread, depression, for there's a lot of deception that's in the world around us. And as we look around, we might would even have a tendency to lose confidence in the human race in general and just wonder where it's going. We may even lose sight of who we are. We may as Christians be wondering, where are you, God, with the tragedies we see? I know if I was in California and my home had just been devastated by a forest fire, I might be wondering, why, oh God? If I were in the Gulf Coast and I was boarding up my house, I would wonder, why, oh God? If I had just cleaned up the mess on the East Coast from the last round, I would be wondering, why, oh God? If I couldn't go back to my school to continue my education, to fellowship with my friends, I might would wonder, why, oh God? Or if I had to leave school, after having gotten there, I'd be asking, why, oh God? If my business, which had flourished, were now faced with closure, I would wonder, why, oh God? In a broken home, where love seems and hope is gone, I would wonder, why, oh God? As I looked around and I saw all that it seems the world wants me to see, I would wonder, where are you, God? Do you really exist? It seems that in the world today, darkness looms heavy. From an individual's home to the world stage. Where are we, church? Are we feeling that darkness creep in on us? Is it having its dreaded consequences in our own lives? I have to be honest, I struggle with it some days. As I wonder why violence has to be, why brokenness has to be, why children suffer and die. I can't imagine the pain and the darkness that must be. I recommend to you the book of Romans above all of the New Testament books. It is by far the best work of the Apostle Paul, and it will speak into almost every situation you face, even the darkness we face today. Through 11 chapters, Paul has made the case of Christ as the Son of God, the Redeemer of all persons, of all peoples, races, colors, creeds, nationalities. It doesn't matter. Paul knows a decadent world. He knows a broken world, for in the day of Paul, in the Roman Empire, which was the known power, children could be killed without penalty. Maybe we would call it late-term abortion today. Men could get another wife if they didn't like the one they have. Now, wives, you were stuck with the husband you got. Sorry. You couldn't trade them up or trade them out or trade them down. Into the decadence of sexual immorality, into the sexuality of that time, Paul finds a church at Rome, the seat of the empire, where the decadence reigns supreme. It would only be a few years from the penning of this letter to the church at Rome that the Christians would be blamed for the burning of Rome. They would be persecuted, and a new Roman city would be built out of stone and marble. And the world would marvel. But Nero would fiddle as it burned. There were gladiator games where people were slain for entertainment. Christians would fill the courtyards and be burned as lights and lanterns. There was decadence to go aplenty, immorality in every corner. This Republic of Rome had stopped to be and was only functioning as a figurehead, while a Caesar had taken over and had to be worshipped as a god. It was into that very thing that people were coming into this church at Rome, living in that decadence, that corruption, that selfishness, that greed. Does it sound familiar? Yes. There has been darkness in the world before. And with every season of darkness, the church must shake off the rust, the dust, and the cobwebs. We must go back to what we should have been practicing and find the only place where hope is at and where light can be found, and that is in God. Paul writes into this church these letters to encourage them. I share with you. I beg you, I beseech you, I beg you. Paul is begging them now. They've had 11 chapters. Paul says, okay, here's what I've told you. Now I beg you to believe it. I beg you. Let's see what he says to beg. And I beg us today. I appeal to you, I beg you, I entreat you, brothers and sisters, let's fix something. Paul is not an exclusive or a woman hater. You need to know that. get off the political bandwagon and the bandwagon of political correctness. If he says mankind, he means men and women. Get off of that thing. Don't get stuck there. Don't hyperventilate. Don't vapor lock. Just relax. He believes in men and women. He loves women. He has women in ministry. He writes letters. So don't go there. Don't let the world take you there. Don't get distracted. Don't be like a dog when you yell squirrel. Ha! You know, don't get stuck there. Just stay on task. Stay with it. Brothers and sisters, you got it. It's there. Don't get off on the side. Brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, by the mercies of God. Now, I think mercy's one word, but now we've got mercies. What does that mean? More than one, right? So maybe we need to figure out some attributes of God real quick. Okay, it's a test. By the way, you're allowed to speak. Words. What would we guess if we all come together, talked about it, and come to a meeting on it? What would we feel like the single attribute of God would be that we could sum him all up, put him all in order, and that all the other attributes of God would come out of and go back to? What would be the one attribute? Let's all say it louder. You're right. I want them to hear you too. Love, that is the attribute of God. It is out of God's love for us that his mercy flows. It is out of his love for us that his grace flows. It is out of God's love for us, I don't get this one, that his patience shows up. How many of us are glad that, you know? But what we need to understand that God's attribute of love brings about mercy. What is mercy? Mercy means God has every right to judge us, to smote us, to wipe the slate clean, and start all over, but he doesn't do it. He's completely justified in the sinful, lost nature of humanity just to wipe the slate clean, go down by the river, and start over. Mercy is, he's justified, couldn't be blamed if he did, but he doesn't. The next one is grace. He allows us to continue in that mercy. Grace extends out of his love and is fully exemplified in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And then we get down to his patience. God is patient. God is, you know, we've got those attributes of God. I can't understand. How many of you have patience? I have for a minute or so. Sometimes less. But you know, I'm just amazed that God's patient with me. Amen? So you got by the mercies of God. So when Paul says the mercies of God, you kind of got to get in the picture here. God's love, grace, patience, peace, forgiveness, all of those things. I beg you, Paul says, by the mercies, by the attributes of Almighty God, which are above mine, above yours, above his. I beg you, by the mercies of God, all of the attributes of who God is, I beg you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. What does he mean by that? Whole thing. All of it. Not some of it. We spend a lot more time, it seems, in the world today worshiping the creation more than the Creator. But we need to get, you see, the problem is, God is spirit. And God gives us the Holy Spirit as Christians. Now, I'm talking about Christians. Paul's writing to Christians too. But we are his lips. We are his hands and his feet. We are the representation of God into the world, good or bad, flawed as we are, broken as we can be. God still chooses to use us. Give it to him. This is what he wants. Gone are the sacrifices of goats and sheep. Gone are the old ways of sacrificing on the altar. He says, bring yourself, which is holy and acceptable, not by what we did, but by what he did in grace through his mercies. This is our reasonable act. This is what we should do. Remember, Jesus would tell the rich man to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your body, and your soul, and your neighbor as yourself. Holy and acceptable God, this is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to the world. I'm going to give you three. Yes, three. I want you to write them down. And Carrie, keep me on track for three. Remember that I said three. Sometimes I don't get them clear, and I want these clear. I'm going to give you three. Three of the most important things you can do when darkness comes in on you. And it's going to be surprising where I'll tell you to start. Number one is pray. Pray. Pray on your knees, humble before God. Paul's going to go on to say, don't think more highly of yourself than you should, but in humility go to God and cry out to God. Whatever hurts, let Him know. Wherever your struggle is, He already knows. But call it out. Ask Him. Before you go, which is number two, is reading the Word of God. Number one is prayer. Number two is reading of the Word of God. One is prayer. Earnest, ardent, heartfelt, dedicated prayer. Get down on your knees. Pray it. No, God bless this. We're about to eat. It is prayer. It is getting down and praying through the bills, praying through the shopping list, praying through the junk, and getting down to where it's just you and God, and you get all that other stuff out of the way. We used to call it, when I was growing up back in the Southeast, praying through the job, praying through the problems, praying through the shopping list, praying through the stuff, getting to where it's you and God. It takes a little while. You can't do it every time, but I encourage you to get there. Pray before you read the Word of God. This is the living Word of God. Pray that the Holy Spirit will open it to you, show it to you, reveal it to you, let it be in you. You need to be in this book every single day. Be not conformed to this world. Folks, there is evil around. There is bad around. There is immorality. There is wrong thinking. There's people who are calling things that are dark, light, and light, dark. It's all messed up. You got to get in here. If you want some light, you got to go to the source of it. And that is God. Pastor, what's the third thing? Three is Christian fellowship. Christian fellowship. Church. Christian fellowship. Jesus says, where two or three are gathered, I will be in their midst. Folks, we're not called to a cave. We're called to a community. We're not called to live alone. We're called to live in community. Why do you think evil wants to keep the churches closed? Why do you think evil wants to keep us from talking to each other? They're afraid. The greatest force the world has ever known is a bunch of born-again Christians who are out preaching the truth, the grace and love of God, a repentance for our sins, and a turning away. The world's afraid of that. The devil certainly knows this is his problem. He knows it. But it's our hope. It's our hope. Three things. Prayer. Reading, earnestly reading the Word of God. May I recommend to you Luke, Acts, and Romans. Luke, Acts, and Romans. I gave you three things, prayer, Word of God, and fellowship. I gave you three books, Luke, Acts, and Romans. There's plenty more. I mean, you know, you got a whole bunch of them in here. But those three, go there. Go there. Find the light, find the hope, and pray about it. Be not conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Folks, if all you put in it is CNN and Fox News, you're not going to be renewed. You're going to be depressed. You're going to go, oh my God, there's no hope. The world's cut. And by the way, Facebook ain't going to help you a lot either. You know, it's just not going to. Instagram, it's just instantly bad. As soon as you put one good comment on there, and you'll get 300 uglies. You know, it's like people just want to hate on what's good. Paul wrote to Timothy. Have you read Timothy lately? You ought to. He said, Timothy, in the last days, they will hate the truth. They'll be lovers of self rather than lovers of God. They'll heap to themselves people who speak things that make their ears feel good about. You know, that they won't feel truth. There'll be an unnatural love for each other. It's here. You don't have to take my word for it. That's why I tell you to read this. Get in it. Don't be transformed. Don't let the world change you. We have the power to change the world through Jesus Christ. We don't have to give in to the darkness. We don't have to let it consume us. We are not to live as people who have no hope. We haven't been given this salvation to fear, but to live and to dedicate and to share. But they don't want us to. They don't want this going on. They don't want two or three gathered in His name. You know, I was just thinking, and I'm going to go ahead and say this, and I'll probably, somebody will go, you know, sputter on it. 1,200 lightning strikes in California. Maybe they should open their churches. Don't mock God. Don't mock God. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may discern what is the will of God. Now we done talked about God's attributes, right? So if we got God's attributes, love, grace, mercy, hope, healing, all of those things that we know about God, if we are going to find out what God's will is, I bet it's going to have something to do with God's nature, don't you? I bet God's will for you, God's will for me, God's will for us, God's will for the church has something to do with love. I think Jesus said, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Even as I have loved you, love one another. By this alone, they will know your mind that you love one another. Church, before we can love the world, we got to love each other. Before we can love, we got to kind of get used to loving each other. How many of you are perfect? Right? Raise your hand. You got to learn to love imperfects. You know, that's the way it is. But if we are going to know the will of God, we need to know it's going to have something to do with those attributes of love, grace, mercy, all of those things. That is the will of God. When you are asking yourself, what does God want me to do? He wants you to love. He has created us uniquely for the ability to choose free will to love one another. That gets rid of all the isms. That gets rid of all the colors. That gets rid of all the stuff. But He also calls us to live holy and moral lives according to His Word. Folks, there's some things that are wrong. There are some things that will get... How many of you have learned, and I've been trying to get Nicholas to learn this along the way. Harrison, you should be getting there. How many of you have realized that just as soon as you think you've got it, you get it? Come on now. I had me a Suzuki 400. This is back in the old days. I'd put a power band in that thing, bored it 30 over, shaved it 15, fly. I mean, this thing it was bad news. And I could handle that old motorcycle. I was down in the gravel road, and I was popping some wheelies, you know. There was some folks there drinking beer. They were drinking beer, you get what I'm saying to you. And I come around, that thing was loud, you know. How many of you has ever done a wheelie on a motorcycle? How many are on a bicycle? What have you been doing? I can show you where those wheelies happened. Or the results of them. They ain't nothing like gravel pulling off your clothes to get your attention. Well, I got on that old motorcycle and I had it. Man, I could pop a wheel. I could get that thing up and I could just walk it. You know? You like my sound effects? Yeah, yeah. That's what they sound like. You just, if you ain't heard that, you need to go get a life. Get out there and do something that might skin you, and you might have, you know, some fear of the. But I got that thing. There was all my buddies, you know. I said, I'm going to show them about a wheelie. And I'm a redneck, you know. I drove by, hey, I'll be back. Y'all watch this. I turn around, I'm spinning that thing around. Nying, 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 nying. I get it up while I'm riding that thing, and it sputters. It sputters. That's not good. Because when it sputtered, I give it a little more gas. It unsputtered. And I watch the seat go that way. And I'm going, oh, heck. You know, you got that time. It takes forever. You ever done something like that? And you know it's going to hurt? Doesn't it slow down? Anybody been there? Yeah, you know, just about the time you think you've got it, it gets you. That thing went out from under me. I threw the handlebars down, landed in the gravel, peeled off skin everywhere, and I looked, and my motorcycle was coming back. And it ran over me. Just as soon as you think you've got it, just as soon as you puff up a pride and get up on the fence to crow, somebody will hit a rock. They'll throw it at you. You need to live in humility. Just about the time you think you've got it, you haven't got anything. You need to live in humility. Humbleness wins the day. Jerry Clower, the great Mississippi theologian, said, if you sing your own tune, you'll get it a little too high. And remember, it's not the whistle that pulls the train. Humility, I would guess, would be number 4 on a list. To live in humility. So Paul continues, by the grace given to me, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Is God not perfect? So what plan does he have for you and me? It's perfect. And it's acceptable. I hear people all the time, I actually had somebody hit me with this last week and say, Jimmy said, Pastor Jimmy, anyway, that just, the way they said it just was, you know, made your skin crawl a little, kind of like fingernails on a chalkboard. It was, you know, anyway, they said, Pastor Jimmy, just how can you tell me that giving my life to Jesus is going to let me be free? I won't be able to party anymore. I won't be able to do all that stuff. And I'm thinking, you know, I've been a pastor for nearly 30 years, been a Christian for a good little while, and that man sitting there telling me I ain't had no fun. He told me that I lived a restricted life. He told me that I hadn't enjoyed it at all. And while he was still talking, I left the room, you know. I was still there because I reflected back to last winter, elk hunting. I'd spotted some shadows. And I'd started to sneak. Anybody know what I mean by the sneak? Got to get the wind to your face. And I was up to about a knee-deep snowdrift, and I was going around there, and I could see them. I thought, just getting daylight. So I stopped there for a minute, and all of the sudden, a bull elk bugles, and he's only about 100 yards from me. I almost made yellow snow. It almost scared the bejeepies. Have you ever been that close to a bull elk bugle? He got his head down. He's going, you know. I had a cow-calf tag, so he was safe. And by the way, the rest of them were all boys, too. He calls them boys. And so I couldn't shoot any of them. But they ain't nothing. They ain't nothing like feeling that cold chill and then listening to those bull elk call. Don't tell me I ain't had fun. And no hangover. Don't tell me that going down and watching your kids play out in the lake ain't fun. Don't tell me that watching them give their life to Jesus ain't fun. Don't you tell me my faith has restricted my life. It's let me have one. Now, if you can't see that, I'm sorry. But God wants good for me. the devil don't. For by the grace given to me, I say unto you, everyone among you, not to think more highly of yourself, there's your humility, that was number four, than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment upon yourself, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body, we are many members. Church, the will of God is for us to live together in unity, love, and grace. We as a Christian church should offer an alternative lifestyle to the stuff that's going on out there. It is said by one of the great evangelists, Billy Sunday, we should make church look so irresistible every sinner wanted to come. We need to be a beacon of light in the darkness. We need to be a symbol of hope into a hurting world. We need to be the arms of Jesus Christ, reaching out in love, grace, and mercy. All of this is humanly impossible without letting God work in us through the Holy Spirit. A prayer I pray every night is that God would keep me centered on Him, not on the storm, not on the faults, my faults, the faults of others, not on the negativity, but that God would keep me focused on Him, His will, His plan, and His purpose. I get off of it. I wander around. I don't keep up with it all the time. But that's my prayer, and that's my hope, and that's what I would share with you. The will of God is that we would trust Him and hear Him, that we'd spend time in prayer, in humility, in His Word, and in fellowship. If we would love one another in a way that made the unbelievers want what we have, we could become light in the darkness. Amen. With heads bowed and eyes closed for just a minute. I'm not going to ask you any questions today. I'm just going to pray for us. Our gracious and loving God, may we love one another as we do. May we forgive each other as we do. But Father, may the world see our witness of love and grace. May it become so irresistible they wanted what we have. And Father, when we have an opportunity, move within us with Your Spirit that we are at a juncture where we can share love and grace with them. And may Your Holy Spirit convict them that it is not Jim and it is not whomever, but that it is You who are extending that grace and love to them through us. Father, we want to give You the honor, the glory, and praise. Help us stay humble before You, praying in Your Word. Father, help us to stay in fellowship one with another. Father, we pray for churches that can't meet. God, make a way for that to happen. Bring the family of God back together. Maybe it's in a park. Maybe it's in homes. But Father, bring us back together. Let us see hope. Let us begin to let light shine into a darkened world. Empower us. And let us be brave. And helping to redeem the day. In Christ's name we ask and pray. Amen. Let's go out there, church, and share the light of Christ into the world around us through love, grace, hope, and mercy. May we find it in our hearts. May we seek it in our prayers. May we share it in our lives. And now may the peace and grace of God go with us, bless us, and keep us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to a worship service recorded and broadcast live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Please visit our website at www.rockspringsumc.org or on our Facebook page. Our email address is rockspringsumc@sweetwaterhsa.com.
Our mailing address is 1515 Edgar Street, Rock Springs, Wyoming, 82901. Our phone number is 307-362-5334. You are invited to join us Sundays on Zoom, YouTube, or in face-to-face worship as we observe all social distancing and safe practices.